This is Health First with Dave Fuller, available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
Well, we're back with Heather Crosby. She's the author of Yum Universe, and she's also a lifestyle coach. Or is it a lifestyle coach or an athletic coach?
A wellness coach.
That's kind of like lifestyle.
Yeah.
And I guess I didn't say that you were running any marathons this week, so you're probably all right with that.
Right.
Tell us, Heather, about, you know, what are some simple ways that we can add food to our diet that can really make a difference? Maybe you can suggest some of the recipes from your book, but tell us some of the things that have made a difference in the lives of your readers.
A big thing for a lot of my readers is they want to figure out how to keep their routine that they have going on and just start adding a few things in, which I think is the right way to approach this. Some people can do all or nothing, but I think it's easier for people to take this on one step at a time, master the one change, and then add something else. And a great way to start that is just by adding one good recipe into your menu rotation for the week until you've mastered that, or even one new recipe per day, whatever you feel like you're up to. For me, when I started out, I needed to get more green food into my routine, more alkalizing food, and I just never had eaten them up to the point of where I was 22 years old. So for me, making smoothies really helped, blending up kale and hearty greens and getting them with just a little bit of fruit to make it palatable for people until their palate changes and then they want more of it. They start to crave that stuff. So adding a smoothie to the routine every day is really great. And then for me at the time, I was doing a lot of carry-out food, which now I pretty much make all of my meals, but I've been doing this for a while now. But when I was bringing carry-out home, like say, for example, I had pad thai, I would add vegetables to the pad thai. So I would chop up kale, some, you know, peppers and mushrooms, and I would toss them with what I already had just to get more good stuff into the routine.
Tell us a little bit about, Heather, about the processed food industry and, you know, and how it affects our mindset about how we eat and how, you know, and how eating raw or how eating naturally can change that.
I think that what's interesting to think about is to go back to more of our biological diet, which is really simple. It's whole foods. I mean, that's what nature made for us to eat. And you know, the food industry likes for us to think about food in parts. And I think that's where we get into trouble. We're conditioned now to focus on these scientifically identified parts of what we eat instead of the whole food. And when you look at it that way, it severs our instinctual connection to that food and kind of makes us feel lost and confused when we're trying to make decisions and good food choices. And that's where we get into trouble, because that confusion, you know, I think the food industry banks on that because it helps them sell a lot of products. And then I think the more we quiet that marketing noise, the closer we can get to simple and the more we can find our way back to simple whole foods.
Well, one of the things that is trending these days, I think gluten-free was trending a few years ago, and now it's kind of a little bit passe in a sense. And I know you do a lot of gluten-free in your book, so those people that are interested in gluten-free can really have something to hang on to there. But it seems like fermentation is growing, or the you know, the demand for fermentation food. You talk about some of that in your book, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do a little bit, and I'm actually very excited. I'm going to be talking with Sandor Katz, who's written a few really incredible fermentation books. I'm going to interview him for my site this week, actually. But fermented foods, oh, they're so wonderful in so many ways. They boost not only your health and your gut health, which helps you digest and process your foods better, but it reconnects us with food tradition, like spending time in the kitchen, culturing and working with food and trusting in that, in beneficial bacteria, instead of fearing it like most of us are conditioned to do these days.
Hmm. Heather, in terms of creating meals, you know, if we're thinking of creating meals tonight for cooking, can you give people some ideas of some of the entrees that are in your book that might be interesting for somebody that's got to whip up a quick meal tonight for their family, and you know, and how they can be creative with what they're doing?
Yeah. I have a couple classics that are great for families. They get the most feedback. One of them is the lentil and quinoa tacos, and the other one is the creamy millet and kale salad. And what's great about these recipes and what I try to do with most of my recipes in the book is I really encourage readers to break the rules and just use my recipes as a guideline and change things up. And I talk a lot about how important preparation is. So soak chickpeas and lentils and grains and then cook them and just keep them in the fridge. Now, if my recipe is calling for lentils and quinoa, but you only have chickpeas and buckwheat in the fridge, that's fine. Use that with the sauce and the seasoning that I have going on, and it will still work. It's all about the seasoning and the sauce. You can swap out all the ingredients a lot of times, except for in the case of baking, because baking, and especially gluten-free plant-based baking, is a whole science in and of itself.
You know, we're coming into winter season, and are there certain foods that should be eaten more in the winter?
Well, I think it's different for everyone. I think you want to eat more warming, comforting foods, a lot of root vegetables and hearty greens, and warming spices, I think, are always really nice in the colder months. Spices like cumin and coriander and cayenne and, you know, incorporating ginger into your foods, all of those warm the body and keep your circulation going.
Heather, in terms of, you mentioned about the gluten-free, and I kind of brushed over it a little bit, but really gluten-free foods or eating gluten-free foods can make a big difference for people with IBS, can they not?
Absolutely. And for me, when I started out, I was still eating gluten, and I was feeling a lot better, and I was really honing in on what foods made me feel a certain way because I had taken all the processed out. And then I just still was struggling a little bit, but I had honed in enough where I would notice that when I would eat gluten, I wasn't feeling well. And when I took the gluten out of the picture, all of my symptoms went away, and I felt really great. And I know that it's really popular, the gluten-free lifestyle, but I really don't think it's a short-lived craze. I think it's a real issue for a lot of people. I have a lot of people in my community who say to me that gluten was the final key, the big transformation that they needed, and they feel great without it. Now, I also know there are people who do great eating it, too, and this is where I think that everybody's different, and you need to kind of hone in on what works for you and what doesn't. So,
you know, what are some of the nutrient-dense foods that, if you're eating a plant-based diet, obviously you need something that's going to, fill you up, and sometimes the salads just don't do it. What are some of the nutrient-based plants that we should be using on a regular basis to really...
Well, I think if you're making a big salad, it's really great to put not only for flavor and heartiness, but to fill up and to get variety. I'm really big on eating a variety of foods throughout the day. Put some of those chickpeas that you have already cooked in the fridge or lentils in there. That's really going to fill you up because there's all the fiber and, the protein. It's really nice to get that balance in there.
What about root vegetables? How do, some people that are doing the raw foods tend to stay away from the starchy foods like potatoes and sweet potatoes and those kind of things. What's your take on it?
I don't eat those foods raw. I prefer them cooked for flavor reasons, and I just think my body personally processes them better when they're cooked. They're really versatile. What's fun about the root vegetables and squash, especially this season, is you can use them in so many different ways. Like I'll use butternut squash or sweet potatoes in brownie recipes, and then you can also put them in the tacos that I mentioned. You can also blend them with, nutritional yeast and a couple other ingredients that I mentioned in the book, and you can make a non-dairy cheese sauce for noodles or kale or any of the, legumes that you've cooked that are in the fridge.
Heather, what are some of the tips that you could give listeners about how to stay healthy, how to eat healthy during the holiday season, where really there's a plethora of unhealthy options, sitting before us
it's
every day.
True. Yeah. I have a lot of tips. I'm actually going to be posting a very long post about this on my site next week. But there are a few things. One, I think that it's really important to remind yourself of your long-term health goals and try to give that more respect and more time than what you want in the moment. It's really hard this time of year for people. But then if you're making and bringing good food that you can enjoy and other people can enjoy with you to the events that you're going to, I can't recommend that enough. If you're going to an event, call someone who's hosting the event and ask them, can you contribute something? And just bring the dish and don't necessarily give it the labels gluten-free or vegan or anything like that, because that tends to turn people off. Just make good food, serve the good food, and then later if someone asks what it is that you've made, you can mention, oh, well, it doesn't have any dairy or gluten in it, and then it's kind of fun. Mm. So,
Heather, in terms of, your recipes, one of the mm-hmm. things that really gets a bad rap, I guess, in the main, in the conventional diets is fat. But it's really essential right. to us. And how do you find it play out in terms of your recipes and vegetable, vegetarian foods?
Mm-hmm. I think fat is unfortunately definitely, like you mentioned, fallen victim to the marketing hoopla. But it's a major source of energy. Your body needs it to assimilate nutrients and vitamins and minerals. And I think that the closer you stick to plant-based foods, the better you'll be. I tend to get my fat from whole foods, and then I'll use coconut oil sometimes for baking and for sauteing. Now, I know that that's a pretty charged topic. There are definitely two camps on the, pro and con for coconut oil. For me, I found that it works. I had, some blood work done before and after and found that my body was responding and doing better when I had some coconut oil in my diet. Everybody's different. I don't necessarily use a ton of bottled oil. I'll get my fats from, avocado and nuts and seeds. Those are really excellent sources of fat.
You talk in your book about, in the book Yum Universe, about, that society, as a society, we tend to take apart foods and, extract mm-hmm. certain parts of them. Do you want to mm-hmm. expand on that idea?
Yeah, we were talking about it a little bit before, but it's a conditioning. We're conditioned to focus on, fiber or fat instead of the whole food. And I think that benefits the food industry a lot. It's how very different foods like beef and avocado and nuts can be lumped together into a high-fat category, or high fiber if it's lentils, and then also a, synthetically fortified cereal dyed with crazy chemicals. Those two can go together in high fiber, and it's tricky, it's dangerous. And so that's why I think the closer, the simpler we keep it and the more we step back and go back to the whole foods, which is the food that, Mother Nature designed for us to eat, those foods, not the stuff in the package that has been fortified and taken apart.
Heather, I'm just wondering if you could just sum up some of the things that we've been talking about in your book and where people can get it, because it's a great book mm-hmm. and people will make a great present this year under the tree for some people, I'm sure.
I agree. you can find out more about the book on my website, yumuniverse.com. There are plenty of images of the cover that people can click on, and it will take them to a landing page where they can watch a trailer where I dive in pretty deep about what the book is about. It's more than a cookbook. When I set out to write this book, I wanted to, yes, include a bunch of recipes, but I wanted to, also have the really important know-how, the why and the how to make this transition in the same spot. So there are three main sections. There's the why you want to consider eating more plants, whether you're 100% plant-based or you're still going to eat some animal products, that's fine with me. Just, why
Health
you want
Canada
to consider
encourages
getting more of
the you to protect
preference.
Your health and safety.
Heather, thanks for coming on the show. It's been great having you.
Thanks so much.
We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking with Dr. Kate Ray and Blue.